بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اقرأوا القرآن فإنه يأتي شفيعا لأصحابه يوم القيامة وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن هذه القلوب تصدأ كما يصدأ الحديد قيل وما جلاؤها يا رسول الله قال كثرة ذكر الموت وتلاوة القرآن أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Most respected elders and brothers, in the verse that was recited in the khutbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, speaking of the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. The month of Ramadan, which is at our doorstep, is that month wherein the Quran was revealed as a means of hidayat and guidance and to differentiate between haq and batil, from that which is correct and from falsehood. For this reason, the month of Ramadan is known as Shahrul Quran, the month of the Quran. For us to understand the importance, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the best of all Anbiya alayhi wa sallam and the final Nabi. Being the best of all Anbiya alayhi wa sallam and the last of all Anbiya, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given the best book and the final book, that is the Quran Kareem. So noble is this book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has declared in the Quran, إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ. Indeed it is a noble Quran, so full of wisdom, that Allah, after taking an oath, says, Yasin wal Quran al Hakim, by the wisdom of the Quran Kareem. So magnanimous is this book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another verse says, wal Quran al Majid, by the magnanimous book, the Quran Kareem. Now, as an ummah that has been given such a great book, it is important for us to appreciate and value this book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And one way of appreciation is for us to recite this Quran and to make a habit of reciting abundant of the Quran. In various ahadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained the importance of this book. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِ الَّذِي يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ كَمَثَلِ الرَّيْحَانَ كَمَثَلِ الْأُتْرُجَّةِ رِيحُهَا طَيِّب وَطَعْمُهَا طَيِّب. That the mu'min who recites the Quran is like a citrus fruit. It has a sweet taste and has a sweet fragrance as well. Subhanallah, the muhaddithin have gone into great detail in explaining the similarities and the benefits. They explain that if you look at the citrus fruit, then one is the smell, it gives off a good fragrance. Then the taste is enjoyed by everyone. Then when holding it, it is easy on the senses of feeling and touching. And they explain that when holding this fruit, or when a person has to look at this fruit, then all four senses, his smell, his taste, and his touch, all senses are now used and benefit from this fruit. In the same manner, when a person recites the Quran Kareem, then various benefits are enjoyed by this person. So one is his iman, because of him having iman, his internal is pure. And so that is referred to as ta'amuha tayyib. It has a good taste. And it has a good fragrance, that this one is, that this iman is concealed in his heart. But by him reciting the Quran, is now his iman is being expressed. And the benefit of iman is being enjoyed by not only himself, by those around him as well. وَمَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِ أَلَّذِي لَا يَقْرَأُ تَمَرَى لَا رِيحَ لَهَا وَطَعْمُهَا طَيِّبٌ. And the example of the mu'min who does not recite the Quran is like a date which has a sweet taste, that because of him possessing iman, his internal is pure, but this has no fragrance. So now the benefit of iman is not expressed. It does not become visible and apparent. So this is the importance of reciting the Quran Kareem in the life of a believer. Then the importance of reciting it in the home. Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala narrates from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَا تَجْعَلُوا بُيُوتَكُمْ مَقَابِرْ, that do not make your homes into graveyards. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَنْفِرُ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ الَّذِي تُقْرَهُ فِيهِ سُورَةُ الْبَقَرَةِ. For verily shaitan flees from that home wherein Surah Al-Baqarah is recited. Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu is reported to have mentioned, he says, that home where the Book of Allah, the Quran is recited, اِتَّسَعَ بِأَهْلِهِ, that home becomes spacious for its occupants. When we say spacious, one is the physical and the literal understanding and the meaning. But spacious as far as blessings, happiness. There's no fight, there's no dispute, there's no arguments in that home. وَكَثُرَ خَيْرُهُ, that home enjoys abundant good on account of that home being such that the Quran is recited. And the malaika, وَحَضَرَتْهُ الْمَلَائِكَ, the malaika, the angels thronged to that home. وَخَرَجَتْ مِنْهُ الشَّيَاطِينَ, and the shayateen and all evil spirits leave that home. And on the contrary, that home wherein the Quran is not recited, بَاقَ بِأَهْلِهِ, it becomes constrained upon its people, its inhabitants. Now, despite its physical vastness and spaciousness, the people living there now no longer can remain together with each other. They're always fighting, arguing. وَقَلَّ خَيْرُهُ, there is little good in that home. And the malaika leave that home, and the shayateen now come to that home. This is the benefit of reciting the Quran in the home. The importance of having some portion of the Quran in the heart. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, إِنَّ الَّذِي لَيْسَ فِي جَوْفِهِ شَيْءٌ مِّنَ الْقُرْآنِ كَالْبَيْتِ الْخَرِبِ, that person in whose heart there is no portion of the Quran is like an abandoned house, a desolate house. Like a home that has been abandoned for a long period of time. No one is prepared to now go into that home to stay there or to even rent such a home. In the same manner, that heart wherein there is no portion of the Quran, that heart now is devoid of any good. All good now leaves that heart, and now the person falls into all sorts of problems and sins. So reciting the Quran is a means of enlightenment for that heart. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, اقرأوا القرآن فإنه يأتي يوم القيامة شفيعا لأصحابه. Then recite the Quran, for verily it will come as an intercessor on the day of Qiyamah for its people. Imagine on the day of Qiyamah, when a person will be in the greatest need of help, on that day the Quran that he recited will come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and intercede on behalf of the reciters, so that he can be granted entry into Jannah. Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, that I dislike a day which passes wherein I do not look into the Quran and I do not recite the Quran. I dislike that day which passes wherein I do not recite some portion of the Quran. And he says, لَوْ أَنَّ قُلُوبَكُمْ طَهُرَتْ مَا شَبِعْتُمْ مِنْ كَلَامِ رَبِّكُمْ. Had your hearts been pure, you would have never become satisfied with the recitation of the Quran. That you would go on reciting, you would never be content without reciting it. You would always desire to recite more and more. It was a common practice amongst the pious predecessors to recite abundant portions of the Quran, not only during the month of Ramadan, but throughout the year. It was a common practice amongst the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum that they would complete the Quran at least once a week. At least once a week they would complete the Quran Kareem. There were practices of some that were dedicated to daily completing one Quran. Some over 3 days. But the common practice was once a week. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned that the right of the Quran over a believer is that he completes the recitation of the Quran at least twice a year. At least 2 times in the year. And the very easy way is, one is throughout the year we start, and one is during the month of Ramadan. So being Shahrul Quran, the month of the Quran, we should dedicate ourselves to the recitation of the Quran. Fix a time daily, just as we have time for everything else. We set aside some time during the month of Ramadan dedicated for this special task of reciting the Quran Kareem. And then we will see what great benefit we will find in all aspects of our lives. One is the general recitation of the Quran. Then there are certain surahs which we should make a practice of reciting daily, starting our day. Every person when he wakes up has concern. I have certain needs. I have this work that I have to fulfill. I have these responsibilities to take care of. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given a very simple solution for the fulfillment of man qara'a yasin fi sadrin nahar quziyat hawa'ijuhu. That person who recites Surah Yasin in the morning, then all his needs of that day will be fulfilled. Such a simple solution. We make it a point early morning before we leave for our work, after Fajr Salah, we recite the surah. Allah will see to our needs of that day. Then, in this time of financial instability, every person is concerned regarding his financial condition, that what will become of my future, how will I be able to settle my bills. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that person who recites Surah Al-Waqi'ah, لَمْ تُصِبْهُ فَاقَةٌ أَبَدًا. Poverty will never afflict such a person. The person who recites Surah Al-Waqi'ah is guaranteed safety from poverty. It is mentioned that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to teach this surah to his daughters, and he would encourage them to recite it, and he would say that I have hope that if you recite the surah, you will be protected from all forms of poverty. Then, for our needs of the hereafter, the first stage of the hereafter being the grave, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned regarding Surah Al-Mulk, هي المانع المنجية, that this surah is that which will protect a person and safeguard a person from the punishment of the grave. So we try to make this a practice after Maghrib to recite Surah Al-Waqi'ah, Surah Al-Mulk, guaranteed protection from poverty and guaranteed protection from the punishment of the grave. respected relatives and brothers, to understand the effect of the Quran on the heart. It will terminate with one incident. Many of us are perhaps acquainted with the famous reciter of the Quran, Qari Abdul Basit rahimahullah. So he was once asked that in your lifetime, did you witness any miracle of the Quran Kareem? So he mentioned, you are asking me regarding one incident, whereas I have witnessed many incidents of the miracle of the Quran Kareem. So after being encouraged to narrate one such incident, he says that the president at that time used to go to Russia, and at that time Russia was a known atheist center. So this president, while there, he was told that, why don't you research regarding atheism and then abandon this religion, and if you do so, you will make your country the most progressive country on this earth, and you will give all sorts of technology and advancements, and you will begin to progress and prosper. So this president told him that, see, this is not the solution. But nevertheless, the time was limited. He could not give them the full detailed answer. 2 years later, he got the opportunity to visit Russia again. On this occasion, he requested Qari Abdul Basit to accompany him. So Qari Abdul Basit mentioned that this was something very strange for me, because being invited to recite, to go to some Muslim country, was common to recite the Quran Kareem. But this was something far-fetched, that to go to this place which was the center of atheism, what would I go there to do? But nevertheless, he accepted this invitation and he accompanied the president. So he says, after the meeting was over, there was some time for some informal discussion. And in this informal discussion, he would speak about Islam and the beauties of Islam. And in that, he introduced Qari Abdul Basit to the other leaders. So then, he then told them that, I will ask him to recite for you. So then they asked, what is he going to recite? So they were told that he's going to recite from the Quran Kareem. So Qari Abdul Basit says, I chose to recite from Surah Taha, those verses which were a means of turning the heart of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and a means of him accepting Islam. He says, I only recited two rukus of the surah, and when I opened my eyes, I saw the very same people who were the leaders of atheists in this world. They were tearing uncontrollably. So he says, this president asked them, that what is causing you to cry? To understand the message. But such is the effect of the recitation on our hearts, that we are now crying. Imagine, respected elders and brothers, if this is the effect on a non-Muslim, a leader of atheism, what would be the effect on that pure heart of a mu'min? What would be the effect of the recitation of the Quran on a mu'min's heart? Respected brothers and brothers, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to value this book and to fulfill its right and to recite from it daily and to try and increase our recitation of the Quran as we draw closer to the month of Ramadan, and in the month of Ramadan especially. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
One or two announcements before we form our sunnats. As we mentioned last night, inshallah, the Tanimuddin, Marissa Tanimuddin Jalsa will be taking place tomorrow. So with regards to that, we humbly request the musallis, as we requested last night, in order to facilitate the guests that will be coming and their vehicles, we as the hosts will try and cut down our vehicle usage, inshallah. There will be a shuttle service that will be provided for Asr, Maghrib and Isha to bring our musallis for Salah to the Masjid, or and to attend the Jalsa as well. so we can leave our cars at home. The contact details for those who are responsible for the shuttle service is on the Masjid notice board. We may contact them tomorrow, thereby cutting down the congestion and making it easier for our guests. Jazakallah. So. Also, the Isha Salah may be delayed tomorrow due to the Jalsa. Isha Jamaat in Madrasa Tanimuddin tomorrow will be at 7:30 p.m. inshallah.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة
الحمد لله علي ذات عظيم الصفات سمي سمات كبير الشان جليل القدر رفيع ذكر مطايل من جلي البرهان فخيم الاسم غزيل العلم وسيل الحلم كثير الغفران جميل الثناء جزيل العطاء مجيب الدعاء عميم الإحسان سريع الحساب شديد العقاب أليم العذاب عزيز السلطان ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا مولانا محمد عبده ورسوله المنعوث الأحمر والأسود المنعوت بشرح صدر ورف ذكر صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه نجوم الطريق الأمم أما بعد فيا أيها الناس وحدوا الله فإن التوحيد رأس الطاعات واتقوا الله فإن التقوى ملاك الحسنات وعليكم بالسنة فإن السنة تهدي إلى الإطاعة ومن أطاع الله ورسوله فقد رشد واهتدى وإياكم البدع فإن البدعة تهدي إلى المعصية ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد ضل وغوى وعليكم الإحسان فإن الله يحب المحسنين ولا تحب الدنيا فتكونوا من الخاسرين ألا وإن نفسا لن تموت حتى تستكمل رزقها فاتقوا الله وأجمنوا في الطلب وتوكلوا عليه فإن الله يحب المتوكلين ودعوه فإن ربكم مجيب الداعين واستغفروه يمددكم بأموال وبنين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وقال ربكم ادعوني أستجب لكم إن الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي سيدخلون جهنم داخلين بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا مولانا محمد عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعصيهما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر رضي الله تعالى عنه وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه وأصدقهم حياء عثمان رضي الله تعالى عنه وأقضاهم علي رضي الله تعالى عنه وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة رضي الله تعالى عنها والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة رضي الله تعالى عنهما وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله رضي الله تعالى عنه اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا رضي الله تعالى عنهم وعن كل الصحابة أجمعين الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم وخير أمتي قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم وسلطان ظل الله في الأرض من أهان سلطان الله في الأرض أهانه الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى وكل اليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم
الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين اللهم ارحم موتانا وموتى المسلمين اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.